you please tell me why? Tell me
Kringle, Santa Claus is
No, Crinkle.
Oh, Crinkle. It sounded like Kringle.
Hold on. Guys, we are back around from the top of the hour here. This is the Redfield Hardcore still. We have our guest, Dave Kelso, who's very excited and I guess very opinionated about the music here. That's Mr. Crinkle.
I thought Santa Claus is bringing Moderna and Pfizer to all of the obedient sheep.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Speaking of being, I guess, woke, being, you know, not one of these sheeple, and comedy, what do you think about Dave Chappelle and his last, big set of performances where only vaccinated people who have vaccines were able to buy tickets?
Well, I think that the majority of people aren't falling for this BS, and if people want to lose money by attempting to create medical apartheid, then that's going to be to their own destruction. not to mention all these different companies and stuff that are insisting their employees be injected with the death jab. Yeah, I don't really know how they're going to be running companies when they're going to be having employees dropping dead left and right. There are so many people that have either died or had adverse, you know, reactions, what they're calling adverse reactions. Well, no kidding, you're going to have an adverse reaction to something that's toxic, like, duh. And, you know, there's a lot of people that are like, wait a minute. Well, if this stuff is so toxic, why isn't like everyone just like dropping on the floor all at once, right? Well, everybody's body is different and handles things differently. You know, completely, death jabs aside, just on a regular basis, any other type of cold or flu or whatever, well, what's the difference between people who catch that stuff two or three times a year and, you know, people who rarely ever get sick? So everybody's body's different. You know, you've got people with better eating habits, worse eating habits. You know, there's a whole bunch of factors that go in. I mean, the body's essentially like a chemistry set. And
well, yeah.
So,
well, I mean, well, if you have a gene therapy concoction put into you, everybody has different genetics, so results may vary.
Yeah, well, it's less about the genetics and more about people's habits. I mean, if you got something that somebody who essentially, well, maybe something at that point, somebody who essentially, you know, is just living on Burger King and McDonald's and they don't really eat much else, well, you look at people like that, you notice they are just on average a lot sicker a lot more often and, you know, more prone to disease because they're shoveling nothing but junk in the sphincters of the butt cheeks of their face. And, you know, so what do you expect? You know, you are what you eat, as the old saying goes, right?
Well, sure. But there are those miracle people out there who have, you know, six packs and rippling muscles, who, you know,
work 20, out?
Who sometimes work out, sometimes, not all the time. They go out for a good football run every now and again, but yeah, they eat that junk food all the damn time and never get sick. So you got to credit genetics more than anything. But
maybe they're doing something else right that they're just not talking about. I don't know.
Probably, you know, got a line of women that they're working that on, you know, that sort of thing.
Or they're doing something wrong that's going to catch up to them later.
possibly. Yeah.
Steroids, possibly. You know, whatever.
Yeah. Well,
you know, well, the whole winky shrinkage thing, I don't think I could ever do steroids. Like, no. Don't take my penis away. Please don't. No.
I know a steroid junkie. I call him Weeping Gibbs. Anyways, we're not even getting into that. Yeah.
If your genocidal winky is Microsoft, then as Bill Clinton recommends, choose Viagra.
You know, I actually thought about starting a company calling it Macro Hard.
That's actually a good one. I don't know why I didn't say that. That's actually really good.
Actually, I wrote a rap verse called Macro Hard, like, 2 years ago. I have yet to put it to song, to actual recording.
Why have we waited this long for a Bill Gates diss track in the first place, and you're sitting on one? Wow.
The artist was the Klingon with the rings on.
The Klingon with the rings on. Yeah, that's me. no, I have, like, I'm telling you, I'm sitting on, like, 11 albums right now. I've not put anything to track yet. I got too much on my plate. Once I get my business just flourishing, once I get the music social network up that I got coming up here soon, working in partnership with the dojo, you guys know the dojo, dojohiphop.com. Visit my record label. You're gonna see Sir Spitz. You're gonna see Kev Ventures. You're gonna see a whole bunch of people there. People that you need to pay attention to. Political rap, like when rap was good, not none of this bling bling crap, money, chicks and hoes and all that stuff. No. That's not what we rap about.
Tom McDonald. We're talking
about real stuff.
Tom McDonald, that kind of rap.
Yeah, pretty much. But better.
Yes, that's
fair. Tom McDonald does a little too much. It's too much glam in front of the camera.
It's not even just too glam, too. Like, I hate the whole emphasis.
In the wrong way, I think.
Don't get me wrong. He's better than like Drake or something like that. Don't get me wrong. Okay, we're not saying that. Yeah. We're not making that comparison. But also, too, like, I really don't want to hear about, like, white boys whining about how, like, they're the political victims while they hate the left for saying that people are political victims. It's just annoying because those people weren't there, and now they think that white people are under attack, and they're crying victim while simultaneously projecting victimhood status on all the left. It's just weird.
Well, everybody's under attack. I agree. I mean, it's two wings, one bird, one really dirty Wall Street birdie. So, like Shakespeare said, all the world the stage and all of us merely players. It's all just a show. As a matter of fact, Jesse the Body Ventura said that the reason he was able to do so good in politics for a second there is because it works just like WWE wrestling. And as we know about WWE wrestling, you got Vince McMahon at the top, and it doesn't matter if it's Stone Cold versus The Rock, because even though, yeah, they really are beating each other with chairs, it's all scripted. The game is rigged, folks. It's rigged.
I'm glad you said this, because you bring up something that I've been wanting to talk about for a long time. It's sort of like that, but at the same time, it's, everybody being condemned, but it's a lot of white people helping themselves being condemned. And so, for example, I'll bring up two examples. You got cops out there. Try to have any of these discussions with a police officer. Well, it's the law. If that's what the government thinks that should be done to us, then that's what's going to be done. I'm a little dog. I'm going to be taken care of, and they don't understand that that's not the case. But you have this, like, history of, you got white society that has been trampling, genociding, and screwing everybody over for such a long time. Now that doom is approaching onto the white side, they can't see it because, we're always going to be taken care of. They don't see it coming.
Couple of things on that though. Number one thing you gotta understand about cops. I like to refer to them as the 102 club because if you have an IQ higher than 102, you can't be a cop. It doesn't matter whether the cop's black, white, or what he is. It's literally in the police academy. You fail if you're too smart. Because they want people that are just smart enough to do the job and just dumb enough to blindly follow orders, like good Gestapo. That's completely been done on purpose. Right. And look, when it comes to like all the genocide, slavery, all the stuff, like nobody on either side likes to hear me say this. I'm going to say it anyway. There have been white slaves. There have been black slaves. There have been black kingdoms, white kingdoms, Asian kingdoms. Every race has been a slave. Every race has had slaves. Even back in the old Slade days, this is something people don't like talking about, but there's pictures and everything.
That's absolutely true.
You got the white Irish slaves that were every bit as sold and all that as the black slaves, but the black slaves, it's funny how some people like to stereotype, like, oh, black people are like lazy and whatever. Like, no, back in the day, the black slaves were prized because they were harder workers out in the fields. So the black slave cost more than the white slave. They were prized.
Yeah. And most of these guys were sold into debt because they're, I hate to say it, their drinking habits or gambling habits, whatever. So they kind of screwed themselves over.
Yeah. That's true. It's indentured servitude gone, completely full retard. And and it's like nobody also likes to talk about the fact that, okay, where'd all these black slaves come from, right? Well, you got all the black tribal leaders in Africa, that one tribe fights another tribe and, they take prisoners, here comes Whitey. Oh, we can make some money with Whitey. Instead of killing these guys, we'll just sell them off to Whitey over here. So, it was black tribal leaders that were selling enemy tribes into slavery, in the first place.
I love how white people hold on to that one. They really, once they find that out, that they campaign with that. There was a war in Africa between two very prominent, huge groups of people. Yes, the aristocrats, your engineers, your royalty, anybody upper class definitely were taken prisoners and upon opportunity were sold. But a lot of it was the white man bringing in alcohol. Oh, hey, you guys ever had any of this stuff? Oh, they get drunk. Hey, where'd you try that? And they're over here or they're over there.
They brought opium into China too, the opium wars.
Yeah. So, they hit us with the alcohol just like they hit the Native Americans with the alcohol. And, giving up intel that they should not have been giving up, especially as scouts, watching out for the village.
Well, let's take this to the next level too, because here's another thing most people don't want to look at. It's not the ones I refer to as the criminal ruling class. Yeah, most of whom are white, not all of them, but most of them. Those are the people that are primarily responsible for that. Your average Joe Blow white person has never had that kind of power. The peasants. We are all peasants. We've always been peasants. White, black, whatever. The peasant class has never had that kind of power. So, yeah, would I say more than half of the ruling class is their skin color white? Sure. But let's separate the ruling class from the peasants. People love to blame the peasants for what the ruling class gets up to, and I don't really think that's incredibly fair.
Well, but these days, and I'm gonna get crass here. These days, if you're poor and you're white, guess what? To the elitist, you might as well use a nigga. That's basically it. You're white trash equals that. So you're just as expendable as anybody else. That's why, they have the conservatives, trying to treat them like they're conspiracy theorists, because they're the only ones in the way of that whole classification. They're trying to get rid of anybody trying to be conservative, trying to fight for their rights. So,
yeah. And there's plenty of black conservatives. They like the slander, like, oh, that's all just like KKK hat wearing redneck, whatever.
Well, what is a conservative? What does that mean? What is a conservative?
Well, I'm not one, but I think V identifies as one. I'm fairly certain.
I'm an anarchist.
I'm an ANCAP. Well, I think we should all be ANCAPs here, but I'm definitely not a conservative.
I'm definitely on the money.
I'm a voluntarist, which means,
okay, that's a better way to put it. Good.
Means exactly the same thing as anarchist. But the word has been tainted. It's funny because anarchy or voluntarism provides everything that statism actually promises, whereas statism provides everything that people fear about anarchy. It's just a double mind screw that's been done on the population. It's really interesting. One thing, you know, that I don't like is a lot of conservatives get into cult of personality just as much as the left, and it's just it blows my mind. It's like look, you know, not that the system wasn't rigged from the beginning in the first place, but with 2020 they were very, very open about the rigging, and conservatives are like, oh well, we'll just vote the bums out in 2024. It's like, wait a minute, the country's been taken over by communists. I mean, the system was rigged before, but now they're completely open about it. It's like, what chance do you think you have? You know, Trump got the election stolen from him. Like, yeah, me personally, I think that, you know, Trump's a player and he was playing his part, Stone Cold versus The Rock. But just looking at it from the conservative perspective, you know, Trump got the election stolen from him because commies are in power. So do you really think that voting the bums out is going to work in Hitler's Germany or Stalin's Russia or, you know, Mao Zedong or Xi Jinping, for that matter's China or Kim Jong-un's North Korea? Hell no. So why would it work here? Because that's what we got going on. We got tyranny light is what we got going on. It ain't Bud Light. It's tyranny light. We've been fully taken over, but these conservatives, they're in such cognitive dissonance. Oh, we'll just vote the bums out in 2024. It's like, don't you see what's happening now and what they're amplifying now? There ain't going to be no doing anything in 2024 if these guys get their way and what they're wanting to roll out.
Especially if they don't want to close down the borders, letting all the illegal voters into the country. Central America.
It doesn't matter, but the voting system's rigged anyway, and it doesn't matter. But what most people don't
That's why they're letting all these legals in that would normally be able to vote.
Check it out. If the Mexican cartels were not allowed to run Mexico, and Mexico is actually, you know, allowed to thrive as a nation, these people wouldn't want to come up in here. Why would they want to? It'd be good where they are. You know, they're not coming up here just like, oh, yeah, we just want to come up here for no reason. No, they got reasons. So it's like, you know, if Mexico could be a prospering country that's not run by cartels, they wouldn't want to come up here. They'd be good where they are.
Well, look. CIA and the cartels know what they're doing.
Oh yeah, the cocaine import agency.
And then
locally here, you got the Federal Bureau of Intimidation.
And also synonymous with the Child Import Agency.
Yeah. And then, you know, in the airports, you got the totalitarian sexual assault.
Yeah. You got one for the NSA? I say not safe anymore.
Yeah. It wasn't, you know, and it's one thing people miss. When Homeland Security was created in the wake of 9/11, George W. Bush used word for word the exact same speech that Hitler used when he created his Homeland Security after the Reichstag false flag that he pulled off. So, like, they stuck it right in our faces, and very few people noticed. The speech is tit for tat. It's every word Hitler said, and they did everything Hitler did, you know, within that speech. So it's really, really interesting.
Well, who would you rather have quoted, Hitler or Bane?
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, people,
Trump,
you know,
definitely quoted Bane. I'm sorry. His speechwriters got lazy on that one.
Or if he's doing his own speeches, he got lazy. I don't know. One or the other.
Just went and saw Batman, Dark Knight. Yeah, I feel like Bane today.
And then, of course, you got the QAnon freaks. Trust the plan. Yeah, that was that's a wink and a nudge acknowledgement to Operation Trust, where they did the exact same thing. The Bolsheviks in Russia, when they had the communists take over, they had Operation Trust, which is essentially a more older school version of QAnon, you know. Or I like to call Trump the Patriot Appeasement Program, because let me tell you, if Hillary would have got in, we'd have had revolution a long time ago.
Totally agree with that. I actually wish that Hillary would have won that election, because it would have united. And, you know, one of the common things that puts humans together is a common enemy. And nothing would have united the country more than the left and the right's hatred for Hillary Clinton. It would have been a beautiful thing. And I agree with you totally. I think Trump is all a part of it. And, it put the Patriots on hold and actually did a better job of divide and conquer than I think we've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, some people ask me, well, wait a minute. Trump's a businessman. He's all about making money. What would he have to gain? Well, what people don't realize is the ruling class have their own cult. And even if they barely qualify, they are still human. And so they are not these demigods.
Well, what would Trump have to gain? Something that people, all the Trump-tards, really fail to overlook is he was bailed out by the Rothschilds. This is not no tinfoil hat conspiracy. This is Wilbur Ross, Rothschild banker, who bailed him out in the 80s. So he owes him a favor, if anything, you know? Yeah.
My point is simply, these people aren't demigods that are immune from all of the, you know, all human failings and time and space and matter. So they have paradigms and belief systems and all that, just like anybody else does. And so they have their cults that has their various belief systems. So, you know, I mean, you compare that to a Christian or a Muslim or whoever else. You've got Christian business people, Muslim business people, whatever. It doesn't matter. They're not going to reject their faith simply just because they're a business person. So Trump's a part of the cult. Yeah. The ruling class cult.
Absolutely. You know what? I totally forgot to ask Will to put out the phone number for the show. We've been having so much fun here.
Number, if you guys want to join, it's 512-248-8252. Once again, that number, 512-248-8252. And you can find that on republicbroadcasting.org. While you're over there, you can find the 1-800 number, republicbroadcasting.org. And tonight's show is brought to you by TLBTalk.com. Completely uncensored social media network. Everyone's been asking for a new one. People are tired of Twitter. People are tired of getting banned on Facebook. Well, we have a new platform. It's run by the good guys, TLBTalk.com. Sign up. There's apps on Android and Apple. TLBTalk.com. All the old groups that were on Facebook, they're here now. Send me a friend request on TLBTalk.com.
Absolutely. Yes.
One thing I'm kind of mildly annoyed about, though, is that, like, you know, when someone disagrees with me on something and they decide to get, you know, butthurt, it's like, okay, all the accusations fly. Oh, you're a card-carrying member of the Illuminati, this, that, whatever, da-da-da. But one thing that nobody has put together, and I'm really disappointed, is, like, PSEC. That's an acronym for Paradigm Shift in Educational Comedy. But if you look at PSEC equals CO2, you know, the Bill Gates depopulation thing, like, nobody's come up and said, like, oh my God, you're golfing buddies with Bill Gates. So these stupid people are, you know, they're going to scream Illuminati if I just disagree with them on something, but they're not intelligent enough to at least be creative and like, oh, PSEC equals CO2. You must, like, nobody's thought of it. like these people just have no creativity whatsoever. It's sad. So I have to joke about being golfing buddies with Bill Gates because no one's accusing me of anything. I'm disappointed.
Well, you know, yeah, well, we've had discussions, especially about my stalkers, but what is your ultimate goal with PSEC?
I wouldn't say it so much has a, like, a goal in the sense that you're asking. It's more like it's just, you know, we live in a world where it's completely taboo to really be who we are and to express ourselves and to really speak our minds. So PSEC just kind of gives the middle finger to that. And so why are we doing it? Because we are ourselves and we can, and freedom. That's why.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, with being taboo, being who you are, yeah, I say, you know, you definitely gotta be real. You know, a lot of people aren't real. There's so many people being screwed with out there that are underneath the thumb of somebody else, and they're too scared to say anything about it, even. And
you know, that's what confuses people about me, because I'm the same person online, offline. I'm just me, regardless of the mode of communication. And I speak, I'll speak my mind similarly, even if someone's twice my size and disagreeing with me. Well, you know, whatever. If you beat my ass for having a difference of opinion, then you're only making my point, not yours. But, you know, and people get thrown off by that, especially, you know, when I get to know them online, and then, you know, every now and again, I'll have a chance to meet people in person, and sometimes they're really thrown off, like, wow, you're the same person online and offline. It's like, yeah, I'm just me no matter what. No pretense, no filter.
Would you have the only same...
The only filter I have right now is I'm curbing my language because you asked me to. That's the only filter I got going on right now.
Yeah, well, a family-friendly platform reaches more people, so...
Yeah.
Where can people find PSEC? Because you haven't plugged yourself yet, really.
Well, earlier I did mention the places that I'm on. I said I'm on Gab. I'm on Minds. I'm on Odyssey. I'm on BitChute. I'm on Rumble. I'm on YouTube. Although, if you go to Minds, like, you know, that's the main place where you look in the About section, and, like, there's, like, all the links, you know, for everything else. So that's minds.com/PSEC documentary.
And you're soon to be on Philby Talk, right?
Yes, I will create an account.
Oh, that's great. That's wonderful. Guys, see, that's what I'm talking about. We're all coming together. We're all coming together. You know, at least, you know.
So you're going to get on places like Minds, Odyssey, Gab, etc. as well, aren't you?
That's right. You know, Minds is so free speech, but I've had 20 accounts shut down. I stopped trying.
Really?
Yeah.
That's weird. That is completely weird. I don't even know why that took place.
Oh wow. Yeah, well, I don't know.
Well, what about Odyssey?
Odyssey, no, I've never tried Odyssey, but
it's a really great platform. It uses the library protocol, so obviously you can use the library desktop app to access that too. I'm just looking forward to when they actually put the Odyssey interface into the desktop app, which I know is going to be a thing. They just haven't done it yet. The Odyssey interface, I like it much better than the original LBR.
You're on Linux, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. That's why that sounds familiar. Okay.
Yeah, I switched to Linux in 2006 and haven't looked back. And believe me, the joys of having an operating system that is not trying to commit psychological warfare against you, it's awesome.
Yes. I'm mostly Linux myself, but nice. I do need Windows for certain things, and
on this system I'm talking on right now, I'm running Linux Mint version 19.3. What are you running over there?
Oh wow. I have thumb drives. I run my Linux operating systems off of thumb drives. I got just about every operating system that there is.
Well, you said you are mostly Linux over there, so which Linux is, like, what? I showed you mine, you show me yours.
Well, I like to go with, Linux Mint was the first one I tried. I actually like it. I like Peppermint better. There is one distro, I'm trying to think of a name right now, but it actually comes with its own boxes program, so I can run virtual machines.
Are you talking about Cubes?
No, I'm trying Cubes next. Cubes is an OS that lets you virtually sandbox every single program that you open up.
Oh yeah,
it's really cool.
Now here's the caveat though with Cubes, and I've seen reviews on it and everything else. You need a really, really super awesome, powerful system to just run it stable. Because otherwise, there's a lot of things that are going to break, and they're going to break hard. I've seen the reviews on it. That's right.
Yeah,
it's good in theory, and it would be really good if, like, you know, the world wasn't so economically screwed and everybody could just like have like a god level computer system. But yeah, it's only going to run on certain high end systems. You could run it on lower end systems, but you're going to run into problems.
Yeah, I've got some high end stuff, so I'm not worried about that. I like Windows FX, actually, FX10. So it's a clone, not a clone, aesthetically looks like Windows, and it kind of operates like Windows. You can even run Windows programs on it, but it's Linux. So yeah. That one's pretty cool.
So it's probably Wine based. They might have taken like React OS or something. I'll have to look into that. It's called Windows FX.
WinFX10. Yeah.
Oh, WinFX10.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Windows FX operating system. Okay, I think I see it here.
I want people to get off Windows. You have no idea how much telemetry. It spies on you.
I personally have plenty of an idea, but yeah, the average person does not.
The average person does not know half the program is running spies on you.
I'm going to give a basic normie explanation of what Windows 10 is. Windows 10 is this. Hey, NSA, please permanently break into my system and absolutely rape me, because I love it when government bends me over and just take my privacy and my freedom away. Mm-mm-mm, loving it. Yeah, that's Windows 10.
I don't even require protection.
Oh,
no rubber, no lube. Just go for it.
Did you hear they're coming out with Windows 11?
Oh, they already did. Yeah, I've tried it. I've looked at it. And it's terrible. It basically looks like all the operating systems put together. It looks like Mac, it looks like Linux, and it looks like Windows at the same time. Why are they doing that? So that they can get everybody on it. Now, they promised that they would not be putting out a Windows 11, but they did anyways. And guess what? Right after the jab, I really want to study people's brains. After they get the jab, you know, from Bill Gates, and they get on Windows 11, I want to study their neural activity.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I made a little mean graphic in honor of Windows 11, and I put it right there. So you see Microsoft Windows 11, safe, secure, reliable. You'll never forget this operating system.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Twin Towers falling there. Yeah, that's how I feel about it.
Yeah, that's what I did for the 11. It's the Twin Towers going down. Yeah, safe, secure, reliable. You'll never forget this operating system. So yeah, I made that little meme. Feel free to share that around.
Oh, I'm definitely gonna share that. Thank you. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, when I first heard about Windows 11, like, that meme immediately popped into my mind. I'm like, I gotta make this.
You know what, Mike? Can we put that on RBN? Can we put that on the website? That's beautiful. Yeah. Well, you know, and it's people. The one Windows system that I do have. Oh, no, I actually have two. The Windows 10 that I have stays offline. The Windows that I use online, well, it's Windows 9, basically. It's completely stripped of all telemetry. It's stripped of its subsystems. It's stripped. I've got lockdown programs on it. It's basically like a library computer. You can't do anything on it except for use the apps that are available to you. You can't download, you can't alter, you can't do anything. So that's what I use for my online, if I have to use Windows. So there's no other way to do it, people. There's literally no other way that you would want to use Windows. But yeah,
I love the synchronicity of all this. We're talking about operating systems and stuff, and you know, Richard's messaging me. He got my package, and included in it, I sent him one of my spare laptops, and you know, he's talking about it in Linux and you know, this and that. It's really interesting that has aligned, you know, with literally this part of our conversation. It's just, you know,
General Tate, we gotta get General Tate on the show.
Yeah, he says not tonight. I don't know why not tonight, but not tonight. I don't know why. He's not telling me why.
Okay, well, I've got Wednesday open for him. If not, that's just going to be a free-for-all show this week. So, by the way, guys.
Is this show syndicated elsewhere other than RBN or just RBN?
Absolutely.
Where?
Okay. Oh, lots of places. Carlton, Matt Carlton's website. I forget what it is. With Truth Cat Radio. We're with now we're with Chuck O'Chelly's network. That's brand new, guys. ChuckO'Chelly.com if you want to check out his stuff. Just the various different places. Community radio stations will pick us up as well.
Oh, you should try to get it on Truth Frequency Radio. It's hard to get in on there, but if you can manage it, they've got a very large listener base.
I talked to those guys. They wanted me with them exclusively, and I said no.
Ow. Man, Chris Geo, what the hell? I was almost on there for, like, a second because, like, you know, Chris wanted me to do a radio thing on there, but then I don't even know what happened. He just got, like, all, like, I don't know, triggered over something I said or something. I don't know. And he just, like, you know, hasn't even talked to me since.
Are you talking about Mr. Harris?
I'm talking about Chris Geo, like the guy who runs radio.
Okay.
Like the guy, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, like, I don't know what I did or said to, you know, seriously offend him or whatever, but I'm just like, whatever.
It's a fickle game, you know?
It's still a good network, though, right? You know, I'm not... I mean, just because, like, Chris dicked me for reasons unknown, I'm not going to, like, bash on the network. You know, like, the network's good. And his wife's cool. Like, she's cordial with me. Like, I didn't – whatever it was, I didn't piss her off. but yeah, you know, I mean, it's a good network. It's a popular network. It's valid. I'm not gonna bash on it. But yeah, I didn't know that they started doing like the whole exclusive thing. Like, when did that happen?
You know, I don't know. I think it was just a just me sort of situation. I don't know. Like I said, everybody has a different experience when they go through this industry.
Yeah, it's really weird. I didn't know they like that they minded it or whatever. Like, I've seen all sorts of different radio shows and stuff that like get cross syndicated. Like, you know, there's a couple of times where you know, my stuff was like cross syndicated with like Wolf Spirit Radio, which no longer exists at this point. I don't know what happened to them. Simultaneous to like Revolution Radio, and then like a couple other things. So like, you know, the simulcasting across networks and stuff is a fairly common thing. So that's, yeah, that's kind of weird.
Well, and some of these people want you to pay them. Like, you know, you should be paying me. You're getting a material that you don't have to produce. Like iHeartRadio, for example, you got to pay iHeartRadio. But no, thank you.
Oh, plus they censor as well.
Yeah, like, you know, you got to be a schlub if you're gonna pay iHeartRadio.
My friend Max Egan, like, someone tried to mirror his stuff up on iHeartRadio, and that lasted for a short bit until the powers that be saw that and were like, nope! Like, oh. nope, he's talking about COVID. Shut it down.
Oh, wow, they won't even let you talk about COVID on there? Yeah, see, I knew I made the right decision.
Yeah, no. No, if you say too much of the wrong thing, you're gone, just like YouTube. Same thing with Spotify or any of these others. Like, you know, you commit wrong thing, you're gone. Max Egan used to be on Spotify too, not anymore. So you know, you commit wrong thing, you're gone. This is all lockstep.
And you know, I can't even imagine trying to get on iTunes.
Yeah, good luck. Oh, yeah, Max was even on iTunes for a short bit, too, and then it was like, nope. I'm actually surprised that, like, Tom McDonald is even able to still be on iTunes.
Well, that white oppression does sound very good. We talked about that, didn't we? It sounded really good to people. Hey, you know, hey, there's somebody, you know, making money off of our music again, and, you know, he could be the next Eminem, but at least he's political. We can get behind that, instead of talking about raping his mother. A white guy talking about raping his mother.
Tom McDonald is who Eminem wishes he could have become, honestly.
I guess so. But then again, Eminem is a rap god.
Yeah, Eminem. Sell out and don't get me started, but yeah, he also went woke, unfortunately.
Yeah, he was getting more and more woke per album. It was a slow progression, actually.
I don't mean woke in that red-pilled way. I mean woke in that, you know, communist leftist sort of way.
Yeah, explain that to me, please. Explain it for the audience, because I know some people popped their heads up on that one.
Well, basically, you know, like I said, it's a dichotomy. You got the two sides that have been brought to extremes. with the political left, pretty much, they don't like anything right as Stalin, and unfortunately, the conservatives, you know, like we discussed earlier, they've got the whole Patriot appeasement, you know, Trump train to distract them. And unfortunately, right. It's like the left and the right, they seem to feed off of each other. They fall for each other's stuff. Like, for example, the right will, like, purposely go on 4chan and, you know, do their own little tricks to upset the left. And even though the left knows it's a trap, they'll take the bait because it increases the drama, which increases the ratings, which increases the profit margins. Then, you know, with the left side trying to get, you know, everybody to think in the same terms as the left thinks, the right falls for it a bit. Like, I'm sure you've probably seen, you know, the little mugs and T-shirts and whatever, you know, liberalism is a disease and liberal tears and all this. Well, no, the original liberal is closer to libertarian than liberal, really. And it's just like, so the left has tricked the right into associating a freedom word with a tyranny concept, because that's what tyranny does. They co-opt everything. Just like, if you want to go this far back, well, the swastika is actually a religious symbol, ancient religion. Yes. It's been one for thousands of years. If the swastika going one way means ascension or ascending or progress, and the swastika going the other way is, you know, descension or things going wrong. You know, which is why Hitler used the descension swastika. That should show you something right there. But, you know, so they took over a symbol that was neither good nor bad. It was simply there to symbolize a point. And, you know, you've got swastikas on temples in India and stuff, you know. So, you know, that was hijacked. And what the public does is they fall for the hijacking. Here's another thing they did that most people don't know as well. The extended right arm that is typically known as the Nazi salute, what most people don't know is that was a standard salute all around the world to include the United States. Originally, when people would do "I pledge allegiance to the flag," which, by the way, that was written by a communist, ironically enough. And it was more like those commie capitalists, that weird hybrid. They wanted to sell American flags, but anyway. So originally, when they would salute the flag, it was what we know now as the Nazi salute. But, you know, once that salute was associated with Hitler, we immediately switched things over to the hand on the heart. But that salute used to be a standard across many countries to include America, but they're not going to teach you that in school because school ain't for education. Hey, teacher, leave those kids alone. Anyway.
Well, you know what? You're absolutely right about that stuff. That's a lot of... Wow. Whew. Man, we cover a lot of stuff. We had a good time this time around, didn't we, Will?
Do you not normally have this much fun on your shows?
You know, it just depends.
It depends, man. Sometimes we're getting some real serious stuff. Sometimes we're just like, we'll still cover heavy stuff, but we'll laugh it up on some dark stuff. It just all depends on the guest and how we're flowing and how irate I am, how much I've been drinking. You know, there's a lot of variables.
Yeah, exactly. Ditto. So, well, we've had a wonderful episode. I want to thank you for coming on to the show, Dave. I have lots of fun with you guys on the Red Pill Nation. That show is really fun. I try my best to make it to every episode. I'm glad it's been happening more on the weekends. So I can make it to the show. But guys, yeah, Neuroki Fives, show Red Pill Nation. I try to be regular guests there as much as possible. You guys should check out the show. We talk about some really cool things.
By the way, Why are you called V? Like, where did that come from?
Oh, there's so many reasons.
For Vendetta or what? Like, is it as simple as that?
More like V for Volition. But there's so many reasons for that. You know, why does anybody have so many titles? I cram all those titles into one letter. Mainly, to tell you the truth, is because I don't want to be accused of being a fame seeker, glory seeker. I'm out to do a job. I gotta get justice for some things that have happened. I'm out to do a job, and when I get that job done, I'm pretty much out. I'm out the game.
So you don't use your real name because it's not about the man; it's about the message.
It's about the message. It's not about me. It's about the message. Exactly.
Yeah. On RPN, there's the initial confusion because Chris DePaul, one of our PSEC peeps, it's kind of a PSEC RPN kind of inside joke to call her the big scary V, you know, V for the vagina.
Caxman? Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know... Because, you know, MGTOW, right? So there ain't really many females in MGTOW, so here comes Krista. Well, she's the big scary V.
Yeah, I've been having to compete and there was, with that there was a little conversation, bit.
There was a conversation that brought that about, too, because Naroki and Joffy, like, got a little triggered in the PSEC room for a quick second there over some topic or another, and you know, and it's like, you know, Caxton, Krista, she wasn't really saying anything out of line, but you know, they were kind of both running the red pill rage filters in that particular moment. So it's kind of like, you know, the vagina's evil, so nothing Krista says could possibly be right. So that's where the joke came from. Oh, well, apparently the vagina is scary, so she just became the big scary bee.
On that note, guys, this has been another episode of the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. I am your host, B, and remember, in the land of surveillance, their third eye is king. Catch you tomorrow night.
Thank you for listening also to yet another episode of Paradigm Shift and Educational Comedy when I take the audio and port it over and upload it. Ta-da!
All right. I don't know what's going on. Where's the music? Mike is still answering phones this late at night? All right, yeah. Once again, guys. We're done. We've run out of time. Guys, yes. And the last advanced man of third eye is king, so please educate yourselves. Catch you tomorrow night.
There's the music.
So why not check out exclusivequestion.com? Voila!
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.